Be seated.
Christ is in our midst.
He is and ever shall be.
The Israeli army is unique. It is not like our army. Our army consists of a special group of people that are assembled together with the purpose of defending our nation. And they are separate and distinct from us as the population. The Israeli army, however, is different in that it is more like the Israeli army is different than our army in that it is a citizen militia. Everyone, virtually, in Israel, all the populace, are a part of the defense force. And that defense force can be called upon any time to help defend the country. All the people who are walking the streets of Israel have...
I'll just hold it. All the people who are walking the streets of Israel have been trained in how to defend the nation. When you see even older people walking down the street, in all probability, they know how to use an automatic weapon. They know how to defend the nation. So it's unusual to see even younger people who are prepared to defend the country. In a way, that's like us. We are gathered here today as the army of God. And all of us have an opportunity to engage in the warfare that St. Paul was engaged in. And he talks about going forth and ministering, not in his own strength, but in God's strength. We're gathered here today to do battle. There is a warfare going on. St. Paul wrote about this in the book of Ephesians, in Ephesians 6. He says, "Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places." Paul wanted the Ephesians to realize that their involvement in the body of Christ is one of being a soldier. And I think it's important for us to be reminded of what a soldier is and what a soldier does. First of all, a soldier obeys the commander. As the church, of course, our commander is Jesus Christ. He is head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself might come to have first place in all things, the scripture says. He is our commander. And we listen for his orders in order that we might obey them. In the book of John, for instance, Jesus says, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also might love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Our commander has given us the command to love one another. And this is something that we need to take very seriously as soldiers, that we not be rebellious in any way, that we engage in the warfare that involves love. That we love one another, first of all, because we know He loved us. Because we appreciate and know that God sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That God loves us so much that He sent His only begotten Son. Because we know that He loves us, we also love one another. When we walk in the earth and carry on our usual converse with the world sees us differently, or they should, because they see people who are being obedient to our commander, and we are loving one another. Not only loving one another, but loving those who are our enemies. We are the soldiers of God. As soldiers of God, we obey our commander. As soldiers of God, there is a cost involved. Again, the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, "Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. There's a cost involved in being a soldier. There's a story about a missionary who is like the missionary we're acquainted with, Floyd Franz. And he, like Floyd, came back to the States to visit the churches and to report on how the mission efforts were going and to remind people of the need for financial assistance in carrying out that ministry. But as he was driving throughout the countryside, he could see the families in their homes. Particularly as the sun would set, he would see a family gathered around the dinner table. And there would be a pang of loss that would come to him, because he would realize that there is something about their life and something about their peaceful existence that he could never experience. Because in his duties to the master, it carried him to faraway places and to danger and to be involved in a ministry that is very different than theirs, though theirs is very valid. He realized that as a soldier, his duties take him far afield. But there was a part of him that would long to be around that table with that family in a peaceful evening. We as soldiers are called often to places that we would rather not go, but because we are under the command of our Lord, we go. Because we want to be obedient, we know that there is a cost involved. Jesus Himself said, "Unless you deny yourself, take up your cross daily and follow me, you cannot be my disciple." There is a cost involved in being a soldier, and that cost is something that we readily accept. There's a pastor in World War II who would become martyred for his faith, and he wrote a book that influenced my life greatly. His name was Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and he wrote a book called The Cost of Discipleship. And in this book, he wrote something that was profound to me anyway. He said, "When Christ calls a man or a person, he bids them come and die." He bids them come and die. And this is the same bidding that the Lord has given to us to become a soldier of His, that we might lay down our lives for our friends, that we might die to the passions that wage war against our souls. Just as the Apostle Paul said that he died daily. Now obviously, he's not talking about physical death there. He's talking about spiritually dying to his desires, to his wants, to his dreams, because he's a soldier. And so are we. And every soldier has an obligation and a duty to know his weapons, his or her weapons. Paul talks about putting on the armor of God. This is something that we do. God is not going to do this for us. We need to put on the whole armor of God. We need to put on the belt of truth that we might be truthful people. That as we walk in this world, that we would put on the breastplate of righteousness, that plate that covers our heart, so that when the enemy attacks us, we are preserved, we are protected, because we have the breastplate of righteousness. We have our shoes, our spiritual shoes are the gospel of peace, that we are ready to share the good news with those who we come into contact with. We take up a shield of faith, the faith in knowing that God loves us and that God has accepted us into His forever family. That faith is like a shield to us against the darts of the enemy. And we have the helmet of salvation that we put on in order that we might also be protected from the lies and deceits of the enemy. And we have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We wield that Word of God in the combat against the enemy's lies, and we become victorious in Him because we are soldiers. But we need to put on that armor, and we need to take up our weapons. God has made us soldiers. You know, there's a misconception in many people's minds that when we come to Christ and we come to the church, that we show up with our sunscreen and our armchair and our beach towel ready for this wonderful vacation with God. In reality, we ought to show up ready to be soldiers, because there is a mighty battle occurring, and it's occurring right here today. It's occurring all around us. If we could see into the spiritual realms, we would know that there is a spiritual battle taking place for the souls of people. The enemy is still waging war against the world, and he is waging war against the church in particular. We must not fall asleep. Peter said that we should be vigilant, be on the alert, because our adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. That roaring lion is seeking our soul. He's seeking the souls of our loved ones. He's seeking the souls of those who walk around about us. His desire is to consume them if possible. But God has given us the responsibility to fight a battle for them. Many of them are completely unaware of the battle. But we who are aware of the battle, we need to lift them up in prayer. We need to take them before God, and we need to fight the enemy. We need to resist the devil, and he will flee from us. When we need to put on the whole armor of God, And we need to listen to the voice of our commander. There was an Indian that left the reservation back in the turn of the century, and he came to New York City because he had been in correspondence with a person there. And they were walking down the street, a busy street in New York City. And as they were walking, the Indian suddenly stopped and he touched the arm of his friend and he said, "I hear a cricket." His friend said, "What? I don't think so. This is New York City. I don't think you're hearing a cricket." He said, "No, I heard a cricket." And he passed his friend and he walked across the street, and there was a concrete pot there, and in that pot was a shrub. And he went over to the shrub, and in the bottom of that pot were leaves, and he began to move those leaves around, and sure enough, in the bottom of that pot was a cricket. And he held that cricket up. He said, "See, here's that cricket I told you that I heard." His friend said, "I can't believe it. I can't believe you heard that cricket in the midst of all the buses and the taxi cabs and the people yelling at each other and all the noise of this city. How could you hear that?" The Indian said, "Well, watch this." He reached into his pocket and he had a pocket full of change in his pocket. And he held it out and he dropped it onto the concrete sidewalk. And of course it made the sound that money makes when it drops on the ground. And suddenly everybody that was walking past stopped. And they turned. And they looked because they heard that money drop. And the Indian turned to his friend and he said, "See, you hear what you're listening for. You hear what you're listening for. Are we listening for our commander? Are we listening for his directions? Because we are in a pitched battle. And Paul tells us to put on the full armor of God. May we do so today. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen."
Pray to the Lord, ye catechumens.